Welcome to the presentation of results of CIE Automotive. Lorea Aristizabal, the Director for Corporate Development at the CIE Group, and Roberto Tobillas, Director for Planning and Strategy at Dominion, will be in charge of giving this presentation. You'll be able to put questions to them by dialing 01 on your phone. I'll now hand over to the speakers. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, and thank you all for attending our conference call with the results for this first semester. A first semester which I think, seen from any angle, couldn't have been more active. We have carried out the successful IPO for our Dominion project. We have published our strategic plan, 2016-2020. We have returned very actively to the world of M&A, and all this accompanied by half-year results, which we consider to be excellent. Results where we have to remember that the inorganic contribution has not been significant since we started consolidating the new Dominion acquisitions in the last few weeks of the second quarter. Therefore, always bearing in mind the new strategic objectives, we believe that the trend couldn't have been better. If the starting point for 2015 was an EBIT margin of 9.3% over sales, and the strategic objective is 12%, the first semester of 2016 has already reached a figure of 10.3% and 10.6% in the second quarter. If the aim was to double the net income in 5 years, which is an implicit goal of a 15% CAGR, we have increased the net income by 20% in two consecutive quarters. We exceeded 45 million euros in the second quarter, which represents 6.5% margin over sales. We'll all agree that there couldn't be a better way of starting the year and of starting the new strategic plan. Talking about the balance sheet for the group, and we'll discuss the results later. Talking about the balance sheet, and I would like to do it the old way, the source and application of funds. We have three concepts. An increase during the period of 200 million in the net equity. We have already exceeded 1 billion euros in equity, more than half of the total assets. We're talking about a financial debt as of June 30th of less than 600 million euros, which during the period was reduced by some 75 million, with a leverage index under 0.4, DFN EBITDA at 12 months of 1.58 versus 1.83 at the closing of 2015. A trend in the financial debt where the following elements have played a special role. Of course, all the recurrent elements, payment of financial expenses, taxes, investments, dividends, working capital, all the concepts that you can quantify through the detailed cash flow status report we've published. We secondly have a negative effect of almost 90 million euros in earn-out payouts included in the current liabilities at the end of 2015. These payouts have been concentrated in the first semester, and a positive effect of 110 million because of the IPO of Dominion, including the cash generated, the cost of the operation, and the investment in the purchasing of Dominion shares by CIE to maintain the 50% stake. A third consignment is other liabilities, as shown on the balance sheet, which are very significant reduction of over 60% in this semester. As of June 30th, this included the long-term provisions and the net deferred taxes, two concepts that will remain more or less stable over time. Which still includes another earn-out corresponding to the two outstanding payments for Beroa to be made in July 2016, not included in this semester, but it has already been paid out, and another one in July 2017. With the earn-outs in 2016, both in the first semester and in the second semester, this consignment of other liabilities will fall considerably and produce a significant increase in free cash flow as of 2017, when we won't have these extraordinary payments. Use of funds, we move over to the assets. Well, fixed assets of 2 billion euros. In the semester accounts, you'll find detail on the over 80 million euros that have been invested during this first semester, where we make a clear distinction between the almost 57 million that we consider to be a maintenance investment, while the remaining 30 correspond to what we call expansion investments, the famous greenfields increases in capacity. On the other hand, the working capital, a negative working capital in line with our rolling fund management policy. If we consider it to be operating working capital, excluding factoring as published, you'll see that there have been no significant variations during the semester. With all this, an operating cash flow that is consolidated, which as you know is one of our most important internal indicators, which has remained at levels over 50% of the EBITDA, thus complying with the minimum target plan that we imposed on ourselves. I'd like to comment on the results of the automotive division before handing over to Robert to talk about Dominion. Regarding automotive, if we talk about sales and turnover, for the total semester, they've dropped 1% compared to the same period last year as a result of the negative effects which hold back real organic growth. Basically two, a negative effect of 3% because of the exchange rate, and another 2% negative effect because of the repercussion of the drop in raw material sales prices in our sales prices. We're talking about 3% in exchange rate, 2% in the price of raw materials, which during the first quarter hit an organic growth of around 3%, but which in the second semester has been around 6%. At similar price levels and exchange rates as in the first semester of 2015, our organic growth this semester would have been over 4%. On this basis, we maintain our annual growth reference of approximately 7%, since during this first semester, there are factors such as the ramp-up of the volumes in the new industrialization projects, which will increase growth rates in the coming quarters, or specific factors for some geographic areas that also affect us. Also, the market context is favorable for us. There's significant growth in the production of vehicles in most areas. We're talking about Europe with a production growth of 5% in the semester, and especially strong in the second quarter, a market where we're growing below that market due to the sale or the reduction in sales at our German forging plants at Mahindra Europe, as you know. At NAFTA, we're talking about a production increase in the semester of 3%. We are below that level, partly due to problems during the first quarter with the supply of some of our most important aluminum projects that you are aware of, and partly due to the irregular and growing quarterly rate effect in the ramp-up of the greenfields. India, with a production increase of 6% in the semester when we are not yet up to par with the market. During recent quarters, we have shown an improvement thanks to the gradual commercial success of the launchings of our main customers. China, a production growth of 6% in the semester on the market. We exceed this very significantly, especially because the successful ramp-up of our forged crankshaft greenfield. Finally, Brazil, with a further drop of over 20% in production in this first semester, a drop that is significantly lower in our case because of the weakness of many of our competitors and the selection of our customers, or the selection our customers make of financially viable suppliers. They do this more and more frequently, and this is favorable to us. Finally, margins. There's not much to be said about the excellent trend in all regions. I think that the figures speak for themselves. We're talking about developed markets that represent approximately 80% of the automotive activity. We're talking about an ex-Mahindra Europe, where the EBITDA margin over sales is close to 18%, and NAFTA with an EBITDA margin over sales of around 23% that continue to be the solid base for our automotive earnings. With no extraordinary or non-recurrent revenues being included in this first semester. In Mahindra Europe, we continue to have a solid double-digit EBITDA margin. As you all know, the restructuring measures in 2015, and in particular the shutdown of our Gjeco plant, have had major consequences on sales and margins during this first semester, with certain urgent transport costs and other costs that have been involved in our account. And to round off this selective reindustrialization project for this Gjeco production, and to ensure no hindrance for the improvement of these operations, yesterday, as many of you know, a change in the Mahindra CIE organization was announced with the implementation in Germany. We recover the task force approach that was sent out in 2013. And thanks to this new approach, we expect that we will continue to show additional improvements in the coming quarters. Finally, emerging markets, the other 20% of the automotive activity. Brazil, with a very praiseworthy performance of almost 9% EBITDA in a dramatic market context, and EBITDA which without restructuring costs would be 10%. And finally, our Asian markets, where for another quarter they've grown and exceeded 12% EBITDA margin over sales. China, thanks to the successful ramp-up of our forging greenfield. India, when the margins reflect part of the efficiency and productivity programs we launched during the second half of 2015, with the integration of the Indian plants in the group's world technology networks. And in this sense, we have taken a further step, and I mentioned this when I was talking about Germany. We've notified an organization change at Mahindra CIE with the appointment of a new CEO for Mahindra CIE that comes from CIE Automotive. And in India, we're taking this further step in dedicating CIE resources to promote an increase in production rates there. We can discuss this further later, if you like. And to round off, before moving over to Aminion, the M&A side, the active side of M&A in automotive, after a year of consolidation in 2015, in May, we announced the integration of the Amaya De Iria Group, with which we reinforce our aluminium and machining capacity. We expand our geographic presence in Eastern Europe with the Slovakian plant. We extend our customer portfolio. Without a doubt, there's a transaction with major synergies and complementarities. The enterprise value of the transaction amounted to €186 million, corresponding to 6x 2016's EBITDA. And as a novelty, we are just days away from receiving the final authorization for the purchase to become effective and to start to consolidate. And now I'll hand the floor over to my colleague Robert to detail the Dominion results, and I'll be available for your questions. Thank you very much, Lorea. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm also going to give a summary comparing the highlights Lorea gave for CIE regarding the Dominion activity during the first semester. Regarding the business figures, Dominion sales reflect an organic growth in double digits, close to 11% this first semester, partially affected by a negative effect of 5% in the exchange rate. The contribution of the acquisitions has represented 3%, and therefore the net percentage growth figure you'll see in analyzing the information is 9%. The recovery in our earnings for services, €156 million, representing 61% of sales, and the important portfolio at our solutions division, which is focused on backlog, and currently has €367 million at the closing of July. And this gives us future growth perspectives and reaffirms our organic growth guidance of 7%, as stated in our IPO. Margins, with a global contribution of 12.6%, both the service area contribution margin and the solutions area are in line with the company's guidance, the first around 10%. And the latter, solutions, 2 points above our 15% target. The major 17% increase in EBITDA, plus 28% in EBIT, and 62% in net income, respectively, come from the existing operating leverage both on structural expense level and amortizations with our low CapEx. Although the income statement regarding EBIT is 6 million euros below, and this is the same as the first semester in 2015, our recurrent snapshot has improved significantly because in 2016, the financial expenses, pure financial expenses, are 1.9 million euros less than last year. This positive effect has been offset by a worse result in exchange rates this year compared to 2015 by 2.5 million euros. This year we have minus 1.4 million in this first semester versus a positive result of the first semester last year of 1.1 million in this exchange rate difference. I'll move on to the balance sheet. This is the first balance sheet that Dominion has made public, including the effect of the capital enlargement of 164 million euros, Greensill included, and which has meant a net equity increase of 158.4 million euros. With this, together with improvement in our net operating work capital, the cash position at the end of June 2016 is 123.5 million euros in liquidity, with an improvement of 191 million euros with respect to the same debt position in June last year. Additionally to this effect, the main variations, both regarding the semester of balance sheet 2015 and the closing in December 2015, is explained by the new M&A additions that we've notified for the year 2016. Specifically, CDI, Commonwealth Dynamics, incorporated since the month of May, Protisa, with an insignificant impact consolidated since the beginning of June, and also the assets and liabilities assumed within the Abundant bankruptcy process consolidated under the Dominion perimeter since June 1st, 2016. Going into M&A, there are three business combinations that have been incorporated to our consolidated accounts. Again, Commonwealth Dynamics, Protisa, and Abundant. In a very summarized way, Commonwealth provides presence in the United States and complements our experience in high complexity solutions in tall structure industrial areas. Protisa provides knowledge and product for fireproof cladding and thermal insulation, and the businesses acquired from Abundant under the bankruptcy procedures, which also form part of the industry activity field, round off our solution and services portfolio in the industrial area and enable us to clearly move forward towards our goal of the one-stop shop, as well as opening the door to target and synergic customers both in Spain and globally. Dominion has recorded in its June balance sheet the effect of these three acquisitions, which together have represented a price to be paid, a purchasing price of 13 million euros. Of these, 4.5 have already been paid, 1.1 million will be paid during the second half of 2016, and the remaining 7.4 million euros related to the earn-out related to Commonwealth Dynamics is estimated will be paid in 2020. The difference between assets and acquired liabilities is negative by 5.8 million, basically with the assumption of liabilities for Abundant. All this together has meant an increase of 18.8 million euros in the goodwill fund. The exercise we have to perform is that if we consider the cash out of these operations, these 18.8 million euros in the time stated, and we estimate a recurrent contribution for 2017 of around 100 million in turnover with around 6 million euros in EBITDA, we would be within our financial M&A discipline ratios of three times the EBITDA for the EV payout, not from the beginning, but from the first complete year of activity. This is the summary on Dominion, Laurent, and I think that we can move on to the Q&A.
Buenas tardes, señoras.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your phone. To ensure sound quality, We recommend that you use a landline for your questions. Thank you very much. The first question is from Leon Isusquiza from JB Capital Markets. Go ahead, please.
Hello, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions related to Dominion. In the organic growth guidance of more than 7% for this year, compared with the growth in the first semester of 11 and of 14 in the second semester, is this an extremely conservative goal, or what can we expect for the second half of the year? And then you said that in the integration of the three purchases, next year they could be generating 6% EBITDA margin. So if I understood that properly, thank you.
Yes,
let's see. The growth in the first semester compared to the previous year was 9%. Within that growth, there's an organic growth of 11%. For us, the 7% growth is a minimum objective, and above that 7% is where we feel comfortable. And secondly, the exercise we've carried out on an annual basis for the acquisitions made, what we see is the recurrent contribution could be 100 million a year with the consolidated perimeter, with a million minimum 6% EBITDA. So what we're saying is that these acquisitions, which represent a cash out of 18.8 million euros from the year 2017, will be contributing 6 million euros in EBITDA in that exercise of Dominion in the third year, wanted to be 3 times EV EBITDA with respect to the acquisitions made. And in this case, we would be at those ratios and at those parameters starting in 2017.
La siguiente pregunta,
the next question is from José Manuel Arroyas from Exane. Go ahead, please.
Hello, good afternoon. 4 questions, please. 2 on Mahindra CIE and the others on the rest of the businesses. Regarding Mahindra CIE, I would first like to talk about the one-off costs recognized by the company today, specifically for the shutdown of the GECO plant and the layoffs in the magnetics division. Can you tell us the cost in absolute terms, and are we sure that these costs won't come back during the rest of the year or next year? And secondly, regarding the appointment of the new CEO and Mahindra CEO, can you explain why this was done and what a new approach you think he's going to contribute to Mahindra CIE? Regarding Greenfield in Mexico, the third question, an indication of where we are in the industrialization process, what contribution they've made to sales during the first half of the year, and what contribution they'll have during the second half of the year. And a final question about M&A. During the Mahindra conference call, it was said that there will be a new M&A during the second half of the year. Can you give us some idea of what the important geographies are for the group and whether you have sufficient funding to carry them out? Thank you.
José Manuel, let's see if I can answer all the questions. Mahindra CIE, you're right, this morning there was a conference call where they spoke about normalized results under Indian GAAP. If I remember correctly, the presentation refers to a single concept, the concept of layoffs at the magnetics plant within the normal process of adapting to the market and improving results and focusing on costs. There have been a number of layoffs and they've broken it down as a one-off. There's another cost they mentioned, but which hasn't been broken down. In other words, it's included in the standardized figures they've given, which is related to the fact that in the first 2 quarters, and we've also discussed this at CIE conferences, the shutdown of the GECO plant was at the end of November 2015, has been a bigger headache than we expected. A headache which we want to turn into something positive.
in the sense that we've mentioned it before, but I'll repeat it. JETCO was a 30-million plant with over 450 items. These are very small volumes, a very short series, and reindustrializing that at other plants like Schönebeck and GSA in the south of Germany is complicated and costly. Therefore, we're struggling with urgent transportations, errors in some industrializations, and things that haven't gone well. Focusing on the more positive side, which includes in getting rid of the shorter and less profitable series because they're not worth reindustrializing. We're suffering a little bit in this area during these two quarters, and we see the positive side of the shutdown of the JETCO plant, where we've amortized over 140 jobs, where we're going to have healthier sales from the point of view of their profitability. There are these costs which are temporarily affecting the results. The new CEO at Mahindra CIE, there was an announcement yesterday saying that Anders Ardenatha has been appointed CEO of Mahindra CIE, covering the whole scope. Anders, to give you an idea of his profile, is somebody that has spent 25 years working in the automotive field. He joined CIE approximately 10 years ago when CIE acquired a group of businesses that were called Rethide in 2006, 2007. Anders was the managing director of that group of companies, and he joined us. He's taken on additional responsibilities apart from those machining companies under the Rethide group, and he took over the management of other machining companies, and later on also took over the management of the aluminum companies in the group. We believe that we've taken the best manager at CIE with extraordinary results obtained in plant performance, he and his team, to lead this new phase at Mahindra CIE. For various reasons in Germany and India, because we're at different times, we need to open up a new phase and give it a new thrust, and not stagnating improvements, but to give them a new thrust. It was felt that Anders and his team were the right people to do it, and we believe that it's a very positive move that without a doubt will provide very good results in the coming quarters. The contribution of the greenfields, I think that it's a somewhat obsolete question related to the previous strategic plan, if I may say so, because I think you refer to the four greenfields that were mentioned a great deal during 2013 to 2015 within the former strategic program. They're already underway, but you know that we've referred to 19 new projects under this strategic plan, and we said this when the strategic plan was presented. We're not going to talk about the individual contribution of each one of them. In Mexico, we have a significant and growing quarterly contribution. Until last year, we were talking about contributions and a growing ramp-up. One of the four last year, you know, has got a little bit stuck, aluminum. There were a few minor problems at the end of the year. They had a repercussion on the first quarter, in particular with a delay in sales and with supply problems to AGM. It's all been sorted out now, but that's what happened, and little more. Regarding M&A, M&A was mentioned during the Mahindra CIE conference call, and I think that that was absolutely discounted. 2015 was the consolidation year, and 2016 was the year when we again rolled our sleeves up and got back to doing what we do well, M&A. The first semester, if I include Amaya Tellería, there have been four M&A operations. In the second semester, will there be new ones? Well, probably. I say probably because the bad thing about M&A is that it's the most unpredictable thing in the world. The operation you think you're about to close doesn't close, and something else that was unpredictable comes up, and you close it in 6 weeks. What should be the drivers for M&A at CIE? Well, without a doubt, Asia, I would say, as an investment area, a strategic priority, without a doubt, and there I include India. Why? Because we're talking about the only area in the world where automotive sector is growing at double digits, And we're also talking about a country, a geographic area, where we haven't completed our technological portfolio, because we're talking about a geographic area like India, where we desperately need to dilute our most important customers over there. And we have to do that through M&A and by including new customers in our portfolio. So from the strategic point of view, my first answer would be Asia. From the point of view of further opportunities, it would be absurd not to mention Brazil, when it's the perfect moment to acquire assets in Brazil. From any other point of view, well, then Amaya Tejeria comes along and you can't let that go by. And from the point of view not of automotive but of Dominion, I think that continuing to reinforce the various areas and the various Dominion divisions with acquisitions of companies that provide that additional knowledge has to be one of the main drivers, apart from the diversification itself. So in reply to your question, yes, there's going to be M&A, and I think I gave you an idea of where it might go. And I think that we have a balance sheet, and you've been able to see it, that can back these acquisitions. You see a very solid balance sheet with Amaya Tejeria that's coming in, and we'll see what happens from there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you should push 01 on your phone keyboard. Thank you. The next question is from Robert Jackson from Banco Santander. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. A question regarding the impact of the 2% reduction in the price of raw materials and the effect on sales. The change in direction in raw materials, are we going to see the effect in the third and fourth quarters? Or are we not going to see this trend of 2%? And also, if you can explain the mechanics of this raw material process, the change in the price of raw materials. Robert, we spoke about 2% in the second quarter, a similar figure in the second quarter. I remember that during the first quarter, somebody asked why we'd never mentioned this. And I said that when we spoke about an effect of a point whatever, an insignificant effect, it wasn't worthwhile. And that we'd started to mention it because it started to be significant. We haven't seen such a significant variation for it to disappear from one quarter to another. We believe that we're not going to see, we'll have to wait and see what actually happens, but we don't think that there'll be a change in trend that will offset this effect we've had in the semester. 2% of the sales, we're talking about a significant figure, and that's why we started to highlight it when we publish our results. Regarding what the mechanics are just the pass-through. A pass-through of a price, or a price that is half, means that the absolute value of your sales is different. That's the effect we want to highlight here. You know, the pass-through is something that's very usual in the automotive. All our contracts are usually indexed from 1 to 3 months, so there's this certain gap. But it's absolutely normal in the automotive world, and we don't believe that there will be a change in trend in the next quarters in the opposite direction to offset having to talk about this subject from one day to the next. And I think that this will still continue during this year. The next question is from Ichir Gomez from CaixaBank. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. I would like to ask Lorea whether you can tell us in a bit more detail what commercial measures you've taken in India to gradually recover the ground in the Indian market, and whether in the second semester we're going to see a change in trend, whether we're going to start to see a positive growth by CIE in the country. Ethier, I think that I can give you very few novelties here, because the answer to your question, commercial diversification has two major solutions in our case in India. One is related to Western customers and their inclusion in our portfolio there in India, and that's something that we've always said is not going to happen from one day to the next. It's always been a midterm issue, and we need a little more time for the quality standards at our plants to reach the level of Western customers, first of all, and secondly, for Western customers themselves to gain the necessary market share in order to not to have to carry out many imports and assembly in India, but to have a lot of local production and a demand for local production. And this still requires a few quarters, and we hope you'll see it. This morning in the CIE conference call, they mentioned some examples such as the crankshafts we're making for Renault. They mentioned some projects we have for Ford. And it's not that there are zero sales to this kind of customer, but they're very small compared to other customers that you know very well. And on the other hand, complementing our commercial portfolio with Asian customers that really make gains in the market there, like Hyundai, Maruti, and Suzuki, that has to come hand in hand with M&A. And I go back to the previous question. We're very active in M&A. We're looking at it very carefully. M&A in India stroke Asia is certainly one of our strategic priorities because it makes all the sense in the world. And that's my answer. Whether it's in the second semester or in the third or fourth quarter or in the first quarter next year, that's a little bit unpredictable right now. The next question is from Pedro Echeguren from Bank Inter Securities. Go ahead, please. Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Two questions. First of all, Lorea, I would like to go back to Jackson's question regarding raw materials. Could you give me some idea of the sensitivity you have to raw materials? I suppose plastics are indexed to oil, metal indexed to the price of steel. Can you give us a bit of color on how the situation operates and give us an idea on how to model it? And something else that I found missing in this presentation is that in previous presentations, you gave us a slide with the growth estimates of the automotive market for HIS in 2016 to 2020. I don't see it this time. I would like to know whether you have the figure and can comment on it. Hello, Pedro. Regarding raw materials, well, it's complicated to give you very specific figures, and we've never given them out because CIE Automotive is the sum of many small CIEs, and excluding Dominion, just on the automotive side, as main raw materials, we have as many as we have associated technologies. So it's a lot of data that we've never published, and I don't think would add very much. I mean, we talk about our technologies, aluminium injection, where we talk about plastic as a raw material, or we talk about metals, we talk about iron, we talk about several. So it's a muddle of data that I think doesn't really contribute, but would only confuse things. And what you'll be able to understand is that headline we all have in our minds as to how the price of commodities has evolved. And that a normal downward or upward trend, you never heard us about the effect of raw materials on sales, but in an exceptional situation such as the one that occurred in 2006, 7, 8, with a price increase, or now with the opposite trend, well, this can have an effect not on margins, but on the absolute value of sales. In the case of the data, you're right, we didn't put out this slide, not for any particular reason. We weren't talking about 2018, I think we were talking about 2020, because we went to the strategic plan period, and in the strategic plan period, the latest HIS data we have, if you're interested, we're talking about, to cover major areas, Europe, that last year finished up at over 20 million vehicles, and which is going to over 22 million vehicles, in other words, without a doubt, recovering pre-crisis levels. NAFTA, generally. NAFTA, with all its areas that last year was around 16 million and is coming closer to 18. South America, and you know that the main automotive market in South America is Brazil, without a doubt. South America, that last year ended up at 3 million vehicles, and for 2020, it's estimated that it won't reach 3.5. And Brazil, perhaps the most interesting area for CIE, last year ended up close to 2 million vehicles, and this year it will be even lower than that, but will move up to 2.5. And in the Asian world, with China, India at the forefront in the production of vehicles, China, that last year was at 22.5 million vehicles, and which goes up to over 28. And India, that last year was closer to 3.7 million, and which goes up to 6 million vehicles. In other words, they practically double their figures. So this is the data we have, and we didn't include the slide, but if you find it interesting, I'll make sure we include it in all the quarterly reports. There are no further questions, neither in Spanish or English. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call is over. Thank you very much for attending. You may disconnect your lines.